throughout Northern Ireland. Now, this week we've been talking in particular about the Royal. Last week it was the Ulster Hospital. Before that, it was the Antrim Hospital. And the Health Minister, Edwin Poots, has issued an apology after revelations on Nolan about the Royal's casualty waiting times on this show yesterday. In the studio, Dr. Ray Hannan, who's the Belfast Trust Associate Medical Director. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Thank you for coming in. What's your assessment of the situation in your hospital?
Well, do you want to talk about an individual case or do you want to talk about the problem in general?
Well, let's talk about accident and emergency in general first and patients who need critical care. Are they getting it?
Patients who need critical care are getting it. I mean, there's no doubt the system is under pressure. I probably wouldn't use the term winter pressure anymore because I think there's pressures from everywhere, elective care, financial pressure, pressure of attendances at A&E, so there's just pressure everywhere. But people, when they come to the casualty department, are assessed. They're streamed into what's priorities, and those with the greatest priority get early treatment.
And always get early treatment and are never left to wait?
After they've been assessed, I mean, nobody comes in and lies and isn't seen. The term is triage, which means they're given a basic assessment to decide how quickly they need a fuller assessment, if you want.
Why is the Minister, Dr. Hannan, apologising then?
I think he's apologising because we would... there are targets of 4 hours and 12 hours, and for some patients, we aren't able to meet them.
Let's talk about some of the cases that have come to our attention. An 86-year-old lady with a suspected stroke left lying in UNE.
Well... Now, first of all, I don't have specific permission to talk about that patient's details, but I can talk about the problem in general.
Sure.
My understanding is that this lady had been unwell for several days before she came to hospital. And I'll touch on the FAST ads. The FAST ads are increasing awareness of stroke with the idea that if you think you're developing a stroke, you get to hospital, get assessed quickly and get treated within about 3 or 4 hours. I heard Andy Dougal talking about this. Not everyone is suitable for that treatment. If you arrive late, the treatment can do you more harm. And actually, if you're a very elderly patient, you may not be able to have your stroke treated. So my understanding is this patient arrived having been unwell for several days and having been seen by her GP several days before the attendance at the emergency department. So I think early on, it was felt that she might have had a stroke but wasn't suitable for the thrombolysis treatment, which is the rapid blood clot dissolution. So she was, I think, eventually put into what's called the clinical outcomes area. She may have been in a corridor for a little while, but she was put into the clinical outcomes area, which is a small, it's like a mini ward within the A&E.
You've got a mini ward in the NE now, do you?
It's called the clinical outcomes area where patients wait for the results of tests.
So it's incorrect that she was left on a trolley for 36 hours?
She was on a trolley. I don't think there are beds in it, but it's not a corridor, put it that way.
And she had bleeding on the brain, Dr. Hannan.
My understanding is that this patient turned out to have had a bruise on the brain, which probably resulted from a fall and would not have been suitable for either surgical treatment or the clot buster.
And how quickly did you know all of that detail? This lady goes to hospital in an emergency situation. How quickly did you know that she wasn't in a life-threatening condition?
I think, as I say, she was triaged. She was seen within about, I think, half an hour of arriving in the hospital. And her basic observations, she was stable. And at that time, the team felt that she was not sick enough to warrant emergency treatment.
So within half an hour, you knew that she had potential bleeding on the brain?
No. She was judged to be stable and her condition did not require emergency surgical treatment or emergency clotbuster treatment.
But you then subsequently established that she had bleeding on the brain?
Yes, that was a few hours later.
And is bleeding on the brain a serious condition for an 86-year-old?
It could be. But the signs that was doing harm would be evident in her observations. And as far as I can see, her observations were stable.
So the type of bleeding on the brain that she had was not dangerous for her? She shouldn't be in hospital?
No, she probably needed assessment. And her consultant, presently is a specialist in stroke management and care of the elderly, says that everything has been done appropriately for her. It has taken a little bit longer than we would like, but he doesn't think she's come to any harm.
How much is a little bit longer than you'd like? She lay for 36 hours in your hospital on a bed. Her family's distraught. Her family said she was not cared for.
That's not acceptable. I mean, you should be in a hospital bed in a proper ward. You know, you should be.
But it sounds to me like you're justifying what happened to her.
No, I'm not. No, Stephen, I'm not justifying it. What I'm saying is that in this particular case, this lady was, I think, very badly inconvenienced, but I don't think she's come to any harm. There's been a lot of talk about, she should have had treatment as soon as she arrived, but I don't think it's appropriate for her, and I don't want to get into the specifics of her management.
Sure, I understand that, but I am confused as to if we go to accident and emergency with a suspected stroke. Essentially what you're telling me is your triage staff can tell just by looking at you. It's not important to get the actual medical equipment-based assessments done quickly, is it not?
No. If a patient came with a history, sounded like a stroke, within the past 2 or 3 hours, then they would be fast-tracked. If the history is of 2 or 3 days, then they're almost certainly not suitable for the lysis treatment.
And so what is happening at the minute, because of the pressure in our hospitals, because it happened, is because there had been that history of the past 2 or 3 days, she's left in a trolley for 36 hours.
She was graded as being relatively low priority. Mm. And my understanding on Saturday night is that it was a particularly bad night.
How many times am I going to hear that, Dr. Hammond? It's a particularly bad night every night.
Yeah. Listen, Stephen, nobody wanted this patient to be in A&E. She should have been in a ward being cared for.
Let's talk about the wider picture.
Yeah.
Is it true that the A&E within your hospital is a cracking point?
I wouldn't like to use that term. The medical staff are under a lot of pressure. The nursing staff are under a lot of pressure. But day and daily, they cope.
Is it true, are you aware, that some of your staff are breaking down crying because they're under so much pressure within your hospital while working?
I personally am not aware of that. I mean, I've heard people talk about that on your show, but I haven't been made aware of that.
It's slightly disturbing that we know and people are talking about it on this show and you don't.
I think people bottle this up.
Say again?
I think people bottle this up.
Well, exactly, and surely is it not, I do appreciate you coming in, but is it not your responsibility to know? Is it not your responsibility to create an environment where if your staff are under that much pressure that they feel that they're not going to bottle it up? You know, if your staff are breaking down crying because of the pressure, you need to know.
Well, it wouldn't come directly to me. I mean, it's mainly nurses, and I think nurses, I'm sure, would let other nurses know.
Should the City A&E open again, Ray?
First of all, casualty departments, there's no point opening a building if you don't have the staff. And one of the reasons the city was closed down temporarily is we couldn't get enough staff.
But you don't have enough room in your A&E either, do you?
But what's the point of opening a room with no staff? That would be even worse than where we are now.
So is the situation acceptable or unacceptable?
No, it's not acceptable, but the solution is not necessary to open another facility without enough staff.
What is the solution, Ray? You can hear this programme over the last 2 days. The public are outraged, and rightly so. They're demanding answers. They want change.
Yeah. We're caught in a... I think the health service is caught in an extremely difficult position. We are compared with major trusts in England and Wales. We're being told by things like the Appleby Review and various other reviews that we're not as efficient as trusts are in England and Wales. They've had many long years to reform, and I think to give Minister Poots his due, he has started the reform process. I think it's rather late, and we're started down that track. And the trouble is we're facing financial cutbacks, we're facing pressures of efficiency, and the numbers of people wanting to come to hospital to be admitted or treated are rising.
And this is why it's so important for someone of your stature to say it as it is. With the impending cuts that are coming towards you, is the system going to be fit for purpose?
It will be eventually, but I think we're in for a stormy little while while we adjust.
And that stormy little while, Ray, how long is that? And what should we foresee in the stormy little while? What's going to happen?
We have to get our system so that, and I've heard it mentioned out particularly by Janice Smith, we have to get systems where we don't rely on the emergency department, where patients are fast-tracked straight to the specialist unit. That's what's been set up in the city hospital. There's an acute admissions unit. We want GPs to send patients straight to the ward or the specialty required rather than the ED. and that's all in progress.
I want to give you an opportunity to respond to an allegation that was made in this programme today. Someone said that one of your doctors within your hospital told her that when a television crew was coming into your hospital, you opened more beds so that it would look good.
Well, certainly I've never heard of that, and I, in fact, I'm pretty sure it didn't happen, because we don't have enough staff to open extra beds, and if we opened extra beds, loads of people would be talking about it, and it certainly hasn't been brought up to me.
And you've also had the head of the Chest, Heart and Stroke Association this morning. You know him, Andrew Dougal. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do.
Yep.
That's not a man that spoofs or tells untruths.
Yep. Yep.
He knows of a case of someone who sat in your accident in an emergency ward with a suspected stroke and sat there for 15 hours. And he said it is totally unacceptable, unassessed.
Right. Now, I think as I came into the building, he was talking about someone who'd been to his optician and told him... Well,
we think you've had a stroke. Go immediately to hospital. And he sits there for 15 hours.
Yeah, well...
And the head of the Chest, Heart and Stroke is saying, totally unacceptable.
Well, I would need to know the individual circumstance about that, but that would be unacceptable for stroke management. And certainly the doctors who run the stroke service, they wouldn't be happy with that. There is another type of mini-stroke that you can get that affects your eye that a patient should have surgery for, but that's a different sort of a pathway.
What is your general message to the public this morning?
My general message is the system is under strain, but if you are really sick and you really need treatment, you will get it. If you're less sick, you may have to wait a little while and you may have to be accommodated in less than ideal accommodation.
And your message to the politicians, finally, what do you need?
We need a long-term plan. We need help and support. What we need is some leadership and a little bit of breathing space to get things organised.
Thanks for coming in. Thank you, sir.